Hello, welcome to Live Well Lifestyle with Perry A. This is our weekly segment where we talk about spirituality and how to maintain love, peace, and harmony in all of our daily activities and in our lives. Today's topic is wasted energy. How much energy do we waste each day, giving our power away in the face of argument? I call it the great energy zapper. It's sort of like a crescendo of violins when you hear people engaged in arguments. Their voices increase to a shrill, high-pitched intensity as the great energy zapper strikes again. Veins bulge out, eyes bulge out, veins stood out as energy levels escalate in defense of differing opinions. The battle of right and wrong in full swing. Once again, the great energy zapper will be the only true winner. The subjects of battles are not important. It's the winning and being right that's important. Even though there is no true victor, the combatants will go to any length to be perceived the winners. You've been in these situations, I'm sure. Is this driving force that makes people go to such lengths to be the winner? When will we be able to agree to disagree? Will we ever learn, like Shakespeare said, there's nothing right or wrong but the thinking that makes it so? Think about that, the thinking that makes it so. At one time, the Aztec Indians or Mayan Indians practiced human sacrifice. And it was considered an honor for the person and the parents giving up their child. It wasn't called murder. Today we call it murder, it's horrid torture. So to them it was right, and to us it was wrong. Again, it's the perception that makes it so. We actually look, act, dress, speak, eat, think, work, and function differently, but yet we expect others to share the same opinions as we do. What's wrong with this picture? On the day when I was teaching high school and realized that students spent more energy arguing than studying, everywhere inane arguments broke out, resulting in violent temper exchanges, verbal and sometimes physical, to cram one person's opinions down another person's throat. In one class, a heated debate arose over who was the best football team, the Dallas Cowboys or the Denver Broncos. The Broncos fan would probably have got a lot of supporters had he lived in Colorado. However, he dared to think Broncos in cowboy country. One of the primary figures in the standoff resorted to garnering support from other cowboy fans. When the opponent stood his ground, this cowboy friend went to Plan B and polled the entire class as if that would change his opinion. It was a total waste of time and energy when the universe will declare the winner in the Super Bowl anyway. Why do we have to like the same team? Why can't we acknowledge the other person for his opinion and agree to disagree and let go? Why can't we find more constructive places to use all that energy? Yeah. In an effort to show the futility of right and wrong thinking, I introduced this class to the following just suppose theory. Just suppose that you went around a world and you landed on a small foreign island. And on this island, all the people there were raised to believe that what you call an orange is in fact an apple. Now, would you bounce around the island trying to convince everyone there that they were wrong, getting violent and angry when they didn't agree with you? Remember, you're the only one on this island with that opinion. Could you say, "This is very interesting that you see it that way. Tell me, what do you do with your oranges? Possibly you could learn a new way to use this fruit and go home and become a millionaire because you are opening to listening rather than arguing." Sometimes people just want to vent, and if you can just listen and let them express themselves, You don't have to agree or disagree. You can just say, that's very interesting. Thank you for sharing, and walk away. When there's no opposition and no push, the argument will just die a natural death. Okay, I've lost my place here. A thought to ponder. You cannot control circumstances. I think we've all learned that. You were never intended to control circumstances. You were intended to discover unconditional love. You intended to discover a way to feel good no matter what, because you have that facility, you have the power, and you have the ability to focus. So how about that, if we just focused not on trying to control circumstances and make people believe the way we did, but if we just extended love and listened and let go. With the presidential elections nearing, we need this message more than ever. Down to two candidates, you love one and hate the other. Anyone, relatives, siblings, good friends, and coworkers disagreeing with you instantly become the enemy. How could they not see it your way? You notice your feelings toward them change. Respect becomes disgust. You feel your jaw locking up and your shoulders tense up when you prepare for battle every time you see them. But wait, what if you didn't engage in this losing battle? Do you really think you can argue them into seeing your reasons? How would it be if you just disengaged, if you refused to participate and walked away? You could merely say, I do not discuss my political views with others. See you at the polls. Or you can say, thank you for sharing your opinion. I'll consider it, and walk away. It doesn't mean you're going to agree with them or not. It means I heard that you're very adamant about your opponent, about your candidate, and I'll think about it. I'll acknowledge what you said and just walk away. And it dissolves, and you don't have that tenseness in your body. Notice how relaxed your jaws are, how much lighter you feel. Remember, you have the power to disengage, and no excuses are required. It is a choice. Choose love, not war. You will feel much better. In any right and wrong situation, this will work. Just say, I'm sure from your perspective you're right. It's a very interesting concept you have. And drop it and walk away. If you're not resisting, there's nothing to push back against. Energy saved. Think about how much energy it takes engaging in one of these verbal wars of disagreement. And what could you be doing with that time? And what does it take on your body? Notice you get mad, your voices escalate, your jaw gets tight, you have tenseness in your shoulder. You're not helping either one of you. It's a yin-yang losing tug-of-war. So if you drop your end of the rope, they don't have anything to pull for, right? They're just sitting there holding a loose rope or on the ground because you let go. Which one truly has the power? I have a friend who loves to argue, and I love him dearly, but I do not engage with him. I say, Gordon, I love the way you love to pick opponent and be a professional agitator and get things stirred up. I love that about you. It's cute. But I'm not going to play your game. I kind of enjoy happiness and not going to war with you. So, you know, we always have that right to change. But notice how easily we get pulled into those right and wrong battles. It's just human nature to do it. But it takes a concentrated effort to recognize this is somebody wanting a right and wrong. There is nothing right or wrong. I think I'll disengage. And you can agree with them, or you can say, I heard you, I'll consider it, and walk away. And they have nothing left to fight against. How easy is that? What else can you do with your day? Instead of engaging for 30 minutes in a verbal battle and feeling exhausted and tense and tied up and angry when you get through. And notice these people you love, when you see them and you know they're for the other candidate, you automatically build your defense up. Here goes the body. The body language says, oh God, here they come, those idiots that think that other candidate's worthwhile. So there you have it, your tip for this week. How to stay in love, peace, and harmony and not engage in argumentation. We do it with our kids. My daughter the other day was having a big argument with her son about picking up his shoes and doing things. And of course, the same daughter when she was younger was notorious for leaving things downstairs, her shoes and everything else. I was always had a pile at the bottom of the stairs for her to carry up when she went upstairs. And actually, she just walked by. And at times like these, you need to set a boundary. You need to clearly communicate what you expect of them and what the structure is, and make sure that they have eyes on you and they understand and agree that they heard what the consequences are going to be. Then set a consequence, and if they don't do it, issue the consequence. Of course, that's the hard thing sometimes. And it's really not that hard. If you think of something they really enjoy doing and they lose that privilege because they didn't carry out their part of the bargain, that's on them, not on you. It's total their responsibility, and they can learn responsibility. So are we guilty sometimes by not setting boundaries and not giving structure to kids? Kids really want structure. Structure is very important to them. Arguing with them and putting them down and, you know, treating them like they're idiots because they don't understand and aren't doing things, does that build up their self-confidence? Does that going to encourage them to be better citizens and classmates and friends and leaders? No. You've got to respect their opinion. Whether it's right or wrong, they're going to learn, and you may not. We like to teach them all of our lessons learned in life that we had to learn the hard way, because we remember the struggle. And if we could super implant those thoughts, and here I can keep you from going down this path, that would be great. But that isn't the way life works. We have to learn on our own. We each have to learn for ourselves. So giving fear and taking away confidence and running them down and shaming them, guilt trips, that never works. Please don't go down that road. In other words, believe in them. So you know you're a smart kid, you've been raised with good values, and I know you'll figure out the correct thing to do. You know, what would Jesus do? I heard some ladies talking yesterday about they went to church, and there were two young men that brought two girls, and they came to church, and they had on shirts, skirts so short they could barely sit in them, and they were barefoot. These two little girls came to church barefoot, and here they were criticizing them. And I thought, of all places where we accept people, it should be in church. What would Jesus have done? What did he do to the women of the well? Did he go to her and shame her, or did he lead her to another way and forgive her? And we don't know the circumstances with these little girls. Maybe they're testing your faith, seeing if you can come and accept them the way they dress and the way they go barefoot, which is considered disrespectful in their worlds. Again, it's the right and wrong. Or can you come over and do you go over and you say, hello, we're glad to have you in our church today. Hope you're having a good time. Is there anything we can help you with? Maybe they don't have money for shoes. Who knows the circumstances? Maybe they're just rebelling, seeing if you're going to be a hypocrite or not. So don't play the role of the hypocrite. Just extend love. Love. Love always wins. And you show them the right way by the way you act and the way you dress. So we can be teachers to one another. Not by preaching, but by being. I have a few listeners today, and I always like to open for questions, and so many always send clay questions today, but this is the spiritual live well cycle, and there are no questions in queue for me. Excuse me. So I'm going to go back to the main line and see if anyone has a question or discussion that they would like to make, or, you know, any questions about how to not engage. I'd love a good challenging question. So if you have any questions, please press star 2 on your phone and that will open up your line. Another thing we can do is prayer for your children. When you don't think they're doing what they should do, put them in God's hands and ask Him to take care of them, to lead them, and trust that He's leading them on the perfect path to learn the things they need to learn, and they will come back to you. And it's hard sometimes to let go of our kids and to trust, but just stay in prayer and hope the best for them. And I don't want to get into a religious thing on this show, but spirituality is forgiveness and kindness and love. So if anyone has a question, if they'll press star 2 on their phone, it'll open up that line. We're a little ahead of schedule today. I'm thinking of some other issues we can talk about. Of course, politics are always going to be right and wrong. No one's ever going to be right. There's no one person that can please everyone. And it is a challenge in life. But instead of looking at what's wrong, focus on how you want it to be, how you want other people to be. It's like the teacher that went in and she got the classroom and she thought she had gotten the kids that excelled. And she had actually gotten the kids that were below standard on their testing, but she treated them as if they were the excelling students, and they lived up to that expectation. They became excellent students. The way you see a person is the way they'll be for you. Are you willing to let them be more than they appear to be at this moment in your eyes? Sometimes we look at people with our judgmental glasses on, and it prevents a filter that you can't see through to their souls, and you can't see the true person. But believe for them that they can be all that they can be. And this is what I do every Friday night, every time my grandson has a ball game. I just say, I believe for him. And I send him a little email in which I say, you were born to play football. You are going to have so much fun. Go out there, be a leader, be kind, and I know you'll have fun. I try not to tell him what to do. I want to let him know how proud I am of him. And if he drops a ball, I'd say, you know, don't beat yourself up over it. Even the pros drop a ball. So they tend to be very hard on themselves, the young people in sports, when it's so competitive. And a lot of them are very competitive, have a really high expectation for themselves. And Jack's first baseball game, he went out and he struck out at bat, and he walked back to the dugout, and he threw his bat down, and he threw his helmet down. And his mother was sitting in the stands and said, oh, my gosh, I'm a teacher, and there's my child. He wouldn't come out on the field to go take his field position. He was sitting in the dugout crying. He thought he was supposed to have a hit every time he got to bat. And I went in, I talked to him, and I said, Jack, do you watch much baseball on TV? And he said, yes, ma'am. And I said, well, you do realize that even the pros strike out, don't you? It's part of the game. And you did your best, and that's all you can do, and you can improve on it next time. You're here to learn, not to be the best first time at everything you do. But keep that goal in mind, and I'm glad you're passionate about it. but you need to control your anger a little bit and find another way instead of beating up on your equipment. It wasn't your equipment's fault. So that's just an example of how things can be handled. Well, I'm running out of things to say, and we're a little ahead of time, and I don't see anyone who has any questions, so I guess I've answered your questions. My wish for all of you is to have a better week, a better day, a better month, and find the good and the glory in everything that you do and see, and look at people through the eyes of love and greatness, and touch them with their own greatness. Remind them of how much you appreciate them. Remind them how important you are in their lives. Give them a word of encouragement to everyone you meet and a smile to people you don't know. This is Perrier signing out and wishing you a better than best week and future. Bye-bye.